And now, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, it's time for the I Love Ann Show.
That's right. We're right here. We got a very special, special guest with us today. I'm sure many, many, many of you know her out here in Greenwood. Her name is Lee Windham. Yes, she's married to the Ted Windham. And her third book, My Oh My, is on the shelves right here in Greenwood. They're selling it at McCaslin's, the Briar Patch, and the Alcoves. It is actually published by Ambassador International. And we're here to talk about her book, but also to talk a little bit about her life. You know me. I like to talk about people and what's happened in their lives. So welcome to the show, Lee.
Thank you, Ann.
It's good to have you here. We've been talking about doing this for a long time. So it's good to finally have you on the air with us here. Now, you grew up in Walterboro, is that right?
Yes, that's where I'm from.
That's where you're from.
That'll always be my home.
Well, you know, it's right there. It's almost to the coast, right? Almost on the interstate there, so kind of a good location.
Yes, I grew up before the interstate was there. And, of course, we're an hour from Charleston, an hour from Beaufort, and an hour from Orangeburg.
So right there in a good location. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what you can say about Greenwood being a little over an hour to Columbia, Greenville, all the Spartanburg. Yeah, kind of works out really nice. But you grew up in a great time. Of course, you say you grew up in the 50s, but, you know, I say you life really started in the 60s, didn't it? It was an interesting time to be out there in the world.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
I grew up with a strong work ethic. My parents worked on Main Street, and as soon as I could reach over the counter, I was helping wrap Christmas presents in the department store my mother worked in, and then later I worked in the drugstore on Main Street, where my father worked in a hardware store, so the family was used to working hard.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that is part of the difference in today's society versus then. We all did grow up working, and kids didn't think anything about having to help out in business or helping your mom or your dad. I mean, you just did that. It was expected. And I think that's kind of different than what we're dealing with today.
And that's how we raised our children. We expected them to work as soon as they could, and that helped them in their professional careers because they had a background of part-time employment before mm-hmm. they finished college.
You know, one of the things that I thought was interesting, they didn't just get the brand new car, did they?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. We had rules about things ahead of time. You know, you can't make the rules as it happens. And one of them was the used car that we would purchase for them at the beginning of their sophomore year. We didn't think they needed it in their freshman year, too much going on. And so we bought it at the beginning. My husband bought it. And he had a friend, Mr. Fortner, in 96, who was
sure.
a very good used car dealer, and he would find him something that was reliable.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very happy to get that vehicle.
Sure. And, you know, well, my parents told me when I graduated from high school, I told my parents I wanted four wheels. So I thought I was being cute. They thought that I was being cute also, so they got me a red wagon. Yeah, that was a real bummer when I graduated. But my mother used to tell me, if I get you a brand new car first, Ann, what will you have to look forward to?
That's so, the truth.
Yes. So, well familiar with the type of philosophy here. But your parents worked very hard, but your father also, you said, had a drinking problem.
Yes, right, serious. But he would always get up the next morning and go to his job. But in his 50s, I think he was about 55, he was able to buy a country grocery store
mm-hmm.
10 miles out of town near where he had grown up, where the farm was. And for the first time in his life, you know, he had something that he could call his own, and it helped him considerably. But there was a lot of unhappiness in our home growing up, but I sort of was able to be happy in spite of it.
Sure, you said that there was a lot of yelling and everything, but you saw good relationships in your aunts and uncles, correct?
Yes, thank goodness for the extended family.
Now, looking back on it, you know, that has to be a something as far as thinking about your life and everything, that in today's world, it is sometimes hard to find those good relationships to latch on to as a child to see the good things. So that, because, you know, one of the biggest problems we have in Greenwood County is domestic violence. And that's a chain that you have to break. So to be able to have that good, positive relationship that formed for you, it can give you that looking back on it.
Yes, domestic violence is a terrible thing, and that's a personal issue for me. And there are so many women that are not physically abused, but they are emotionally abused. My mother had to put up with a lot of that. You know, my father did not ever try to build her up, whereas the man I married has always done that for me. He's made me who I am, giving me, instilling in me self-confidence and the belief that I can accomplish anything if I try hard enough.
And you certainly have. Yes, you guys have been married, what, 47, 48?
48 in May.
48 in May. Well, we're right here on May. When's your anniversary?
It is the 31st.
The 31st. Okay, 48 years.
I finished college on Saturday, the 30th of May in 1964, and planned our church wedding for the next afternoon on Sunday, May the 31st. I didn't want my parents to have to come to Columbia twice.
Okay. That was so gracious of you.
That was.
There wasn't any desire, we got to get this thing together, because I understand you thought he was quite a catch back then.
Yes. He had a line a mile long, and I bought it. Line and sinker.
Yes, and of course, he worked very hard. You were telling me he had 5 jobs. Wasn't there something about in the early years he was supposed to have a basketball scholarship?
He had a scholarship for 2 years at High Point, North Carolina. And then that was a 2-year college.
Right.
And he got a scholarship at USC, but transferred in the summer and was practicing in the gym and broke the finger, and the little finger on his right hand, and the scholarship was gone. I mean, I guess things weren't as definite in those days as they are now.
You know?
And so he had to work his way through.
And he worked, what, 5 different jobs?
He had 5 jobs when I met him.
And he had time for you, too?
Well, we found time. It was difficult.
Yeah.
I did with a lot less sleep then. Yeah. I think I slept 3 or 4 hours a night. Nowadays, I need at least 9. My friends know not to call me after 8 in the evening.
You're lucky, Lee. Well, you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting, and then we're going to talk about some of the different issues of the book, because it does have different issues. One of the things I thought was interesting in reading the book is that you became one of the very best in-chair dancing girls ever. You want to explain that one to us, Lee?
That was before Laugh-In.
Yeah.
You know, and Goldie.
Right.
On, I think it was. But, one of his part-time jobs, the one he made the most money from, was the rock and roll band that he was in. And they played at a lot of military establishments in Columbia, Sumter, and Myrtle Beach. And he was kind of jealous in the early days, needless to say. And guys in uniform would come over and ask me to dance, and I'd have to point at the band and say, no, that's who I'm with. And so then they play these great, fabulous numbers, and I'd just move in the chair with my arms, you know, back and forth.
You know, it's not like today where girls get up and dance, is it?
Right.
You know,
that was unheard of.
Exactly.
Unheard of.
Yeah. So times certainly have changed, but you, of course, you had been married before to a guy named Huck Evans, and he was overseas, but you didn't really see him very much.
No. It was a marriage of convenience. Just a marriage of convenience, and it was not meant to be, so we got out of it before his daughter was old enough to know.
Right. But that's what went on. That's the early years. You met, of course, Ted at USC. He was of course going to school to become a lawyer. Yes.
Yes.
He knew what he wanted to do, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty exciting. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Lee about all the different issues here. So don't you go away. Come right back with us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash, then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
And now, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, it's time for the I Love Ann Show.
All right, so we are right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. You know, coming up this Sunday, 3 p.m. at the Greenwood Library, Lee Windham will be there with her book, My Oh My. That's right. So if you'd like to hear her talk about it and get a book, well, or two or three. Now, Lee, you were just telling me, who did you actually write the book for?
Well, I wrote it for everybody. I wanted to appeal to teenagers, young adults, as well as senior adults. There are life lessons in it, mm-hmm. lessons that I have learned the hard way. And I hope that those people that read it will benefit and not make the same mistakes that I've made. I've made a lot of mistakes. But God forgives. He's a wonderful God, a God of grace.
Yes. You know, one of the things you talked about in the book, I just think this is a hysterical story. And, you know, today it wouldn't even be something I think that a lot of people would even think about, was buying the encyclopedias. Now, you went to bat on that one, didn't you?
Yes, I was convinced that my daughters would grow up handicapped if they didn't have their own personal set of encyclopedias, because we had one in my home,
right.
Compton's, and my mother was not ready to part with them yet. And this friend at Greenwood High School that worked in the accounting office, she sold them on the side, and she so convinced me. And I told Ted about it, and he just rejected the idea. He didn't think that they needed it at all. And I listened for a while, and then she asked me again, and so I just said, "How much a month?" She said, $10 for about two or three years, I think it was. And so the bad thing was that they arrived on a Saturday at our front door in Cherokee Hills. And so he saw them, you know, where did these come from? So I had to admit it. And, oh, Lord, it was kind of touch and go there for a while.
Well, it was when you guys kind of not came to blows, but you did. I mean, you were adamant on your side, and I guess Ted was kind of adamant on his side.
Mm-hmm. I had defied authority, but you have to. Sometimes you got to do that, and you need to do that early in a relationship, I think,
to see how it fares.
Yeah.
So, what was the outcome of this?
The outcome was that was the last time he ever questioned my purchases, and I have not questioned his. You know, so.
So you guys survived
a truce. Yes,
yes.
We called a truce.
Yeah,
he knew the Comptons were not leaving at all.
This is where you came. Is this the place in the book where you actually came up with that? Thou shalt not go to bed mad.
No, we started out like that. Yeah,
okay.
He'd always said that.
Yeah,
that was so important not to go to bed with any issues there. You know, you always go to bed knowing that your relationship is safe and that your love is strong.
And, except for the time in the rocking chair.
Oh, goodness, you're going to dig out.
I want people to read the book. There's some good stuff in here. Yeah,
out all the trivia.
Well, I told
that story to me. All the stories that I tell in it are to make a point. You know,
right.
It's about the marriage that has survived and about the parenting that has survived. And that issue was, I was pregnant. And, you know, I survived three pregnancies with him, and that's when your hormones are just raging. And so we had a serious argument that night. That's not in the book, but it was about a suitcase, actually, I think.
It was about a suitcase
okay. that he had purchased for me. That I had told him to go get a pink suitcase, but it was a deep rose, and he came home with
it
was the most putrid shade of pink you've ever seen. And I think he actually threw the suitcase in my direction. I didn't put that in the
no,
book.
No, that wasn't in the book, no. Okay, we're getting detailed
so anyway,
there.
I refused to sleep in the bed. I went into my daughter's bedroom, and He came in, pulled a rocking chair out of the baby's, the other bedroom,
right,
room, and started rocking right beside me, glaring at
drove
him.
Drove you nuts.
He said, well, you sleep. You just go right ahead and sleep. Of course, I couldn't go to sleep. I tried, but so I had to get up. I said, okay, just forget it. You know, we're over this. It's not a big deal. And we went to sleep in each other's arms, as usual.
Well, you know, that goes to an interesting point about life. How many people have blown up a relationship over a whole lot less,
mm-hmm,
you know, and haven't been able to put it back together?
Trivia.
Yes.
Just trivia.
And, I like the part that he actually, even though he was aggravating the crap out of you by sitting there in the rocking chair, I like the fact that he actually came in there and sat down and said, okay, you sleep. I'm just going to sit here and wait till you're ready to talk about
mm-hmm.
this. Yeah, no, I...
Smart lawyer. Smart lawyer.
Yeah, well, they always have their ways, don't they?
Yes.
Yes.
And he has a lot of divorce clients. It pays the bills.
Sure.
Thank goodness, because there haven't been many titles to check in recent years. And he sees how broken so many families are, and he tries to help them put the pieces back together. And it's depressing. He comes home just so thankful that we have peace and harmony where we live.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I guess one of the issues that came out of the encyclopedia thing is the fact that you never questioned what he bought, and I guess he never questioned what you bought after that, did he?
Right.
Yeah, because I know Ted likes to buy guns and hunting equipment and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but, you know, sometimes it takes a while to get to that relationship, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And, of course, financial issues are involved, too. You know, if people are scraping to pay the bills, then it's really hard for somebody to buy a luxury item.
Sure. And that's, I guess, you know, one of the reasons, don't you all keep your money separate, which, you know, there's always that question to put it all together or to keep it separate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, there's good things on either side of that. But, you know, a very interesting book it is. We're going to talk about some of the reasons why she thinks that this book is important for you to read. It's a good read. She talks about all different parts of it. You've got to have, if you're going to be married to somebody, you say you've got to have, is it the four C's? Or,
yes,
yeah.
The four C's.
I always think of cut, carrot, clarity, and cost here, but what do you say about
common interest? You've got to have common interest and a common faith, and communication skills, and compatibility, and all that's interlaced with the big L, love.
Yes, absolutely, and you got to have some faith, too, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's where the common interest, the common faith.
Yeah. So we are here with Lee Wyndham. We're going to be talking more about her latest book, My Oh My, Lee Wyndham, right here with us in studio today. Good read. What do you think are some of the important issues for you in this book?
Well, the common thread throughout is that God is good all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not some of the time. God is always good, and he doesn't intend for bad things to happen. I think he made the world. He made the rules of nature. He can break them and does occasionally, but, I mean, if you go out there in front of a car right on the interstate, you're going to get run over. You know, you're not going to get...
you're not going to get a pass.
No.
Yeah.
And life is often unfair in the short run, but it's almost always fair in the long run.
Yeah, life is unfair, and some people do have bad luck, don't they?
Yes, and they can't always blame it on God.
No. That's true.
No.
That's true. So that's what we're going to be talking about. She is she's got four beautiful daughters. And how many grandchildren do you have?
Well, we have 8 grandchildren.
Okay.
One is. Granddaughter in love. They were married last summer, so I added her, of course.
Oh, okay.
And we're expecting number 9 in June.
Well, coming right up.
Yes.
Coming right up. Now, do your daughters live here or away?
3 are in the Columbia area, and 1 is in Charlotte, so they're close enough. And if they lived in Greenwood, I wouldn't have any spare time to volunteer or to write or anything. I'd be so busy attending to the grandchildren, but... since they nobody came back home, then
aren't you glad? Aren't you proud?
Well, yeah, in a way, but it's also kind of sad that we came to Greenwood with no family.
Right.
We had to put down roots, and we did so through our church and have made wonderful friends in the community. Raised those four daughters. It's a great place to raise children. But then they all went away. We still have no family in Greenwood, so thank goodness for friends.
Absolutely. Well, we are right here. It is time for South Carolina News. Don't you go away. We're here with Lee Windham. We're talking about her new book, My Oh My. She will be at the Greenwood Library 3 p.m. this coming Sunday. Certainly hope you get out there and hear her talk and get one of these books or two or three. Hey, we'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
And now, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, it's time for the I Love Ann Show.
All right, we're back here live on the air. I tell you what, you got to sit down and talk to Lee Windham to find out the really good stories. I'm telling you what. Yeah, I just happened to ask her, did they perform, and did she ever join the rock band? Because you know what? She's going to be singing with Ted on Sunday at the library. That's going to be part of what's going on. You guys are going to sing some country music?
Yes, we'll just sing just a few, just so they'll see that we can entertain.
Well, that's great.
We call it music.
You call it music?
We call it music, yeah.
Yeah, a little country, is that what you were telling me? Classic country?
Yes, we do some old classic country and a little bit of rock and roll, but on Sunday I think we'll sing an old song we love, Put Your Hand in the Hand of the Man Who Calmed the Waters.
There you go. So that's going to be, you're going to get, you know, a show up here, you're going to get some entertainment, you're going to hear a little bit about the book, and Lee, yeah, you've got to be excited to be able to have this at the library this Sunday at 3 p.m.
Yes, I was thrilled that Prudence Taylor is the director of the library, and she invited me. As a matter of fact, I donated one to the library, and then she wanted to purchase one, and she said she couldn't put it down. I was just so excited because, goodness, she's so well-read, you know,
mm-hmm.
And then she asked if we would consider doing this, and the timing's very good because I highly recommend it as a great Mother's Day present.
Sure.
And, you know, you've only got a week left to think about a Mother's Day gift for mothers of all ages.
Absolutely. So you'll be signing copies of it. Now the book is what,
$12.99?
$12.99. So that would be an excellent Mother's Day gift. And as you said, what were you telling me a story about someone who had a 5-year-old that went home and read the book and decided she was doing everything wrong? She had to start over.
Yes. She came back and she told her husband. She said, "We're doing it all wrong. We've got to make him more independent."
Yeah.
And that's one of the themes of my parenting section, is the importance of letting the child do for themselves as much as humanly possible and let them make their decisions as soon as they're old enough.
Well, you know, I think that's a good idea because I think we are kind of raising a generation of kids that are totally dependent on mom and dad.
Yes.
You know, we have, of course, concerns about going out in the world because the world is a different place than it was in the 60s when somebody would think about hitchhiking. Yes, you wouldn't do that today.
No.
No.
It would be too dangerous.
Exactly. And, of course, with cell phones and everything and the interconnection of everything, they don't really seem to branch out as much, do they?
No. And I think it's very important that the husband and wife relationship is the important thing, not the role of mother and father. The children have to see you as husband and wife, and know that, that you come first. They are not the center of that marriage.
Well, that would be a totally different philosophy, wouldn't it? For a lot of people. For
yes,
a lot of people.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that would be... you wouldn't think that that would be a subject that we could discuss here, but you're right. And, you know, back in the day, kids weren't number one, were they?
No, they certainly weren't. They knew their place, you know.
And now they seem to rule the roost. So how do you raise kids like that, Lee? How do you raise kids to not be? I mean, give us a few, just a two or three tips here for somebody that's listening. I know a lot of parents out there struggle every day, and they're so concerned, A, that they're not doing enough for their child. The economy may be a difficulty for them because you want to be able to buy. I've seen parents just do things and just try to be so on target with their kids. What do you say?
Well, I say that our faith was very important, that being included in all the church activities helped our children a lot, have the right focus on life, to know that life's not about material things, and to teach them to reach out to other children and to respect everyone in spite of their differences. I just don't think that buying the latest designer item is lasting happiness. And
what do you think, since you brought that up, what do you think about the little girls in little high heels and makeup and pedicures and manicures? I know of plenty of parties where they're doing manicures, pedicures, they're doing all this stuff, all this pampering that I looked forward to when I was able to afford to go out and do it.
Yeah, maybe once a year, I think that'd be okay, but, you know, not as a regular basis. And one of my stories, of course, is called Beauty Pageants, Bah Humbug.
Yeah.
We lived through a lot of beauty pageants in my family, and I really do hope that I live long enough to see the pageants completely a thing of the past, even though I know children, some of them enjoy it. I think there are other ways that they can develop their potential.
You know, one of the things, the tiaras and the little ones and the tiaras, what's that reality show that they have where these kids just throw these temper tantrums. But on the flip side, some of them are becoming huge stars. And you just wonder what how they're going to grow up. I mean, they'll have all this money, they'll have all these material things, but you just wonder, will they ever be able to put it in its place? And what happens when they get older and they don't have the beauty?
They're going to be in a mess.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But so that's one of the issues of the book.
Yes.
How to raise your child with some independence. Now, all of your children did leave Greenwood.
Yes. They all chose USC. That's where Ted and I met and where we graduated. We gave them a choice of any state-supported college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, private schools were very expensive, and they just all happened to choose USC. Now, I did get my master's degree from Clemson, so it would have been okay if they had chosen
Clemson.
Yes, but they worked their way in college. They all had part-time jobs while they were going to school as well.
You think that's good thing for kids to have that?
And they got some scholarships.
For kids to have part-time jobs, I know that a lot of parents feel, I just want you to go to school, I don't want you to work. What do you think, Lee?
I would like to help you change that opinion. I just have seen so many young people that finished college, and they didn't have any job experience going through college, and they can't get employment. Nobody wants to take a chance on a young person who's never worked a day in their life. When I taught at the Career Center, mm-hmm. I had the Youth Apprenticeship Program in its growing stages. And when I left that last year, I had 48 seniors who were youth apprentices in industry, and they worked during school hours. And it made such a difference in their senior year. They were so much more employable when they went to the next level because of that experience.
I think they also grow up with an appreciation of that bigger and better job that they end up with someday, don't you?
Oh, yes, yes. You don't need to start at the top. You need to start at the bottom. I would tell them that.
No, I don't think kids believe that, though, no. Lee. I think they believe they should. I know plenty of college kids graduate from college. They should be getting that $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year job. Not so much now since the economy has changed. In fact, I've been amazed at how many kids that have graduated from college are now going back for second degrees in things like building and masonry and electronics and this type of thing when they thought they were going in a totally different direction.
Yes, that's true. Everybody needs to know how to sweep the floor.
Did you make your kids do chores at home?
Oh, yes. They had assigned chores.
Yeah. We
did, too. Stick to it, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are talking with Lee Windham. My, oh, my. You are in for a treat, my, oh, my, on Sunday at 3 p.m. Certainly hope you're going to be able to put that on your calendar and go out there. You'll be able to purchase her book, but more important, you'll be able to talk with Lee. She's going to give a short talk, and then you'll have some entertainment. She and Ted are going to do a little singing. I guess he's going to play the guitar. You're going to do the singing. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away. By the way, if you've got a question for Lee, telephone man's here, so don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime. From Mother Earth with love, a diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
And now, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, it's time for the I Love Ann Show.
Oh, that's right. We're back here with Lee Windham. We are talking about her book, My Oh My. You know, she said miracles are everywhere, and you just got to open up your eyes and take the blinders off. And, you know, I happen to agree with her. I look at the glasses being always half full, no matter how disastrous things are around you.
Yes, I can tell how optimistic you are, Anne. You're always so upbeat.
I try to be. But you've been through some... Hard things with your heart and everything, some things that could have stopped you.
Yes, it was just unbelievable what happened to me. And, well, I was 45 years old, and I started feeling tired all the time, you know, just went to the doctor, and he just kept telling me I need to slow down, and maybe I was too old for tennis or too old to play singles anymore, and... Finally,
you had a 10-year-old child.
Yes,
that was your youngest.
My youngest daughter was 10, but tennis saved my life because that was where I had the worst symptoms. I had a tumor inside my heart that they call a myxoma, and that tumor had grown to be 6 centimeters. It was actually the size of a tangerine, and when I ran, the tumor would totally block the flow of blood through the chamber, and I would feel like I was 100. But if I waited a minute, the blood was actually in the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
It would back up. But if I waited a minute, then I could get my breath and I could play again. And, of course, I was telling the doctor, and he was just giving me an antibiotic, you know, because I did have worse congestion. You know, that's sort of lungs and heart are a part of the same system.
Sure.
But anyway, it was a miracle that I was finally able to get an echocardiogram, and in
those
book,
were brand new.
The book it tells the details of that. The echo was actually 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I would
still
have
pretty new,
died,
though. Yes.
And it would have been discovered in autopsy because one piece of the tumor, if it had broken off, it would be in the bloodstream and it would have gone to the brain, and it could have died crossing the street. But I had the open heart.
But you
heart
said
surgery.
That that normally a pea-sized tumor like that could cause you to lose your life.
Yes,
and
you
had
die
one
from a myxoma the size of a pea.
And yours was the size of a tangerine.
A tangerine. It was not my time. But I found out that the faith that I had been working on since childhood was valid. I faced death. I faced death fearlessly. the fear that I saw was on the faces of my family and the faces of my friends. I knew that if I didn't wake up from the surgery, that I would be with God in heaven. And it was just sad to see the vacuum that I was going to leave in my immediate family. I wasn't ready for that.
Absolutely. How did Ted deal with this?
Okay. Oh, my goodness. He had a real hard time. The daughters had to take care of Daddy, and he wouldn't leave my bedside for at least 48 hours. They had to pry him out of the chair finally, you know.
Didn't have a rocking chair, did he?
Mm. No, he had a chair. He had
a chair, not a rocking chair, though, huh? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But recovery was just immediate and so strong, and got back to playing tennis very soon. Because it saved my life. Here I am, 70 years old. I had a match last night out at Grand Harbor, and I'll keep on playing as long as my legs will and my heart
keep
will allow me to, yes.
Was the recovery a long recovery, Lee?
No. Well, I stayed in the hospital 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the pain was excruciating because in those days they opened your chest up from your throat all the way down to your belly button.
Sure.
And so that was hard. Getting out of bed was, the pain was unbelievable because they didn't give you any medicine for pain, none.
Wow.
But after I got home from the hospital, recovery was just wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, I think one of the things you told me was your biggest concern is you didn't have any grandchildren yet.
Right.
Yeah.
I told my daughters that. My oldest one was married, and so 1 year later, I got my first grandchild, and now he's 23 years old.
Wow.
This week, and it's such a joy to have watched him grow up.
And what does he do?
Well, he's currently enrolled in the master's teaching program at the Citadel, and he's getting a lot of hours as a graduate assistant.
Wow.
And he's a singer also, so we're real proud of him. He can sing opera. He was president of the choir at PC last year.
Wow. You know, that's got to make you proud. As you look back over your life, what do you look back and what do you think?
Well, God's has always been there for me. He gave me enough talent to get by, and I have tried to use that talent to help others. That's why I felt a special calling to teaching, because I loved other people, and I wanted to share what I had learned with others. And Greenwood High School was where I taught for 7 years, and then the Career Center for 11, 4 at the Greenwood College of Commerce, Uptown Greenwood,
mm-hmm.
years ago, and then 1 at Brewer, the hardest year of my life.
The hardest year of your life because?
Because I was not equipped for the job that I took to teach the learning disabled in a self-contained room all day. I had to teach the curriculum
mm-hmm.
At their level. I had to teach science and math and reading and you name it. And every day I tried to instill in them the belief in themselves that they could accomplish anything they set their mind to, and they just wanted to give me trouble, mainly.
But it's tough. It's really, really tough, isn't it?
Too? Yes.
And you've got to be, your hearts have to go out to those that take under that job and have a heart and soul to work with disabled children.
Special needs teachers deserve and will get a special place in heaven, I am sure. I have people that I know in Greenwood that have taught special needs for their entire career, and their heart is so filled with love. It is just unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
My heart was filled with love enough to do that for 3 years. But I just couldn't take the stress, I guess it was. I felt I cared too much. I wasn't able to back off. And I would go home to my children. When I was teaching the emotionally handicapped at Greenwood High School in a resource room setting, not self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewer experience was self-contained that 9 months, mm-hmm. but at Greenwood High it was resource room, so you didn't have them all the time. But I would go home to my children and say, you all don't have any right to be complaining. You are normal, you know.
Whatever normal
yes,
is, right?
Whatever
yes.
normal is. You don't have the problems that my kids at school have. And it was not healthy. It was not healthy at all for me to be comparing my own children and saying to them.
Well, it's got to be hard when you when you would like to see the standards that you've been able to put with your own children, to see those that have to work at different levels and are not going to achieve that same type of level because they are working at different, their special needs.
That's right.
Yeah, so that has to be tough. But I bet overall, I bet you look back over the experience and you're glad you had that experience, huh?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. I've still got friends from those days.
Sure. But, you know, it's been really neat to have you here today, Lee. I know you're excited about Sunday. Sunday, 3 p.m. at the Greenwood Library in the auditorium there. They'll be signing books. She's going to give a short talk. And then because she just decided everybody needed an extra treat, they're going to be singing some classic country songs with her husband, Ted Windham, the judge right here in Greenwood. God, how long has Ted been a judge here?
Well, he's been a judge for 46 years, I think. Of course, it's part-time.
Right.
You know, Lee Miller is the full-time administrative court judge, but Ted still holds court every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Absolutely.
First thing before he goes to his office and begins his lawyer day.
His money-making day.
Yeah, money-making day. Yeah.
And we all need that. Hey, I remember reading in this book that he was the breadwinner and you were the domestic goddess.
That's right. But I tried to work as much as I could. But I want to leave you with my favorite verse.
Okay, sounds great.
And it's Proverbs 3:6, and it says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths."
Well, absolutely. That is terrific. Well, you know, you've had a former voice of Greenwood right here. That's right. She worked for WCRS, didn't you?
Yes. It was when it was a split station. We had the FM and the AM.
Right.
The FM was 96.7.
That's right. So you did a lot of commercials, did a lot of selling right here in Greenwood.
I did, and I had my children on the radio. We did commercials together.
What? Because I've got some of those old commercials over there. What station? Which businesses? Which one? Maybe I can find an old tape of it over there, Lee.
I doubt if you could find it, but I have some old copies.
Oh, really?
Old cassettes, yes. We the children did a darling one for McCaslin's.
Okay.
One daughter was about 8 or 9, and the other one was 4 or 5, and they were having an argument about going back to school or something, and that was cute. And then we did some Dairy Queen, and I had a funny voice say, "Hello, Myrtle, this is Mabel, honey. I got to tell you what, this hot deal down at Toyota." You know, and
she might have to get you back on the radio some here,
no,
with us, Lee.
I'll leave that up to you, Ann.
No, you're great, Lee. You're great. And, you know, I think, you know, what makes, you know, as you look back over your life, the amount of different type of experiences that you've opened yourself up to and let yourself be part of and not lived in a tunnel and not had that tunnel vision that sometimes we all can get into. I think that's great. The message of the book, one more time, is it's my, oh my, what's the short message here?
It's a journey of faith through marriage, parenting, and miracles.
Absolutely. Well, Lee, thanks so much for coming out here today.
Thank you, and I just appreciate this opportunity, and I hope some of my old friends and some new friends will show up at the library, at our beautiful new library, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Absolutely.
It's only going to last about 30 minutes.
Okay, so you won't be spending the whole afternoon, so it's 30 minutes, it's 3 o'clock, short talk. You'll be able to get some of her books just in time for Mother's Day. It's My Oh My, Lee Windham, A Journey of Faith Through Marriage, Parenting, and Miracles. You know, this is $12.99, would make an excellent Mother's Day gift. And as you said, it's good for some young people, teenagers, to read before they start making the big journey, right?
Yes, and maybe they'll understand why their parents are making the rules that they're in. You know, if the parent decides they're going to change their philosophy, the child needs to know where it came from. So I'll take the blame.
You'll take the blame?
Yeah.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Thanks so much, Lee.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye, everybody.